The early church had begun to flourish, and all the believers were getting along quite splendidly. They shared everything they had with one another, claiming nothing as their own. There were no needy people among them. Those who owned fields or houses sold them and brought the proceeds to the apostles as a gift. Joseph was one such man who sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles as an offering. And oh, what a wonderful blessing it was to everyone. All the believers were encouraged and celebrated Joseph's selfless act. Well, not everyone. A couple named Ananias and Sapphira, who were counted among the believers, saw the way Joseph was admired and grew very jealous. "He thinks he's better than us," they grumbled to each other. "We deserve that kind of attention." They dwelt on it day and night. Finally, one night, they devised a plan to sell a piece of land, secretly keeping part of the money for themselves and giving the rest to the apostles. They would not necessarily say they were giving all the money they received from the sale. They would just let everyone assume it. And presto, they would instantly be famous as self-sacrificing believers who surrendered everything to Jesus. So, with his wife's consent, Ananias sold the land, secretly kept part of the money, and brought the remainder to the apostles. But Peter saw right through Ananias, saying, "Ananias, why have you let evil fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God." As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor dead. Everyone who heard the news was filled with fear. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, Sapphira came in, not knowing what had happened. Everyone nervously watched as Peter asked her, "Was this the price you and your husband received for your land?" The room fell silent. "Yes," she replied, "that was the price." Peter responded, "How could the two of you even think of conspiring to test God like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too." No sooner were the words out of his mouth than she also fell down dead. When the young men returned, they found her body. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. By this time, the whole church, and in fact, everyone who heard of these things, had a newfound respect for God. So, unfortunately, there's no happy ending in this tale, but there is a warning here to take God very seriously. Dare I say, deadly serious.
I know, right? So first off, happy Valentine's Day. Right? And so, you know, what a better way to celebrate the holiday of love than with a nice, grim story of what happens when you lie. I don't know about you guys, but it puts the act of love and the acknowledgement and focus for Valentine's Day in just a beautiful little package when we watch a lovely story like that with a red bow on it, right? It does, but not till later. I'm sorry. Did anybody else notice that, like, all the bad guys have real pointy noses and crisp lines, and then all the nice, good people are all nice and round and fluffy and little round noses, and it just makes me laugh. I could just keep watching it. Okay, sorry. So, but I'm sorry. It just, I don't know why she did that to me. I couldn't help but think to myself as I was watching the video earlier this week about, like, what would actually happen if, like, every time somebody lied, they dropped dead. Like, think about your world. Think about your universe. Think about the place we live these days. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to leave you out. You guys sat way too far in the front. So I'll try to come over here every once in a while so I can make eye contact. But think about the way your life goes and the people you interact with, and if every time someone lied, they dropped dead. Think about that. I mean, maybe you're the one that's dropping dead. I don't know. But I mean, just think about it. It gives you this. I had this visual in my, like, people dropping like flies all over the place, and myself included. I thought, who would be left? It makes me laugh a lot. Can you see people dropping? I mean, seriously. And somewhat sadly, though, in our community and in our society and in the way the world is now, the reality is that what's authentic? What's real? What's true? Think about our world. Think about our communities. Think about advertising. What are some of the places where you see things being less than authentic or true? This is an interactive moment we're about to have, so please... Oh, I didn't mention politics. Did I? Did I say anything about politics? I didn't, on purpose. But thank you so much. The time you wake up to the time you go to bed in so many different places. I mean, think about it. Where do you guys, as young people, where do you see, like, when you watch TV, and do you see things that aren't real or aren't true all the time? Presidential candidates, really? 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 So where else?
How about the famous phrase, don't take this personally?
The what?
Somebody says, don't take this personally.
Don't take this personally, but TV commercials, huh? Advertising. I think about my daughter, who's 23, and the turmoil that she went through growing up, being conscious of what was being flashed in front of her all the time and what the expectation was. But it wasn't true and it wasn't real. And when you see those ads, are the things where, like on Facebook, because everything on Facebook is true. But when you see on Facebook where they talk about how this is this ad, but when you take the airbrushing out, it really looks like this. I mean, it's just not real. It's not authentic. It's not real. We're surrounded by it. Reality shows. Are they real? I mean, reality shows, kind of, especially the ones that, like, big money's involved, that makes me sick. The greed and everything that's involved in all that it's not real. What about, like, remember Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous? Is that still on? Probably not, because it was like 100 years ago, but Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous, I mean, was any of that even real? There's so much surrounding us that isn't real, that isn't authentic. I recently, raise your hand if you've ever seen, because on Facebook everything's true. If you've ever seen something advertised on Facebook, like a shopping thing that you can go online and you can shop and things are cheap, and raise your hand if you've ever seen it. Now raise your hand if you've ever done it. You're okay. You all just dropped dead. Seriously. No, I did it recently. Very recently. I got really excited. Things were very inexpensive and they were nice and I liked them. And so I ordered several different things because it was like $3 for a sweater and $2 for a necklace. And I was like, woohoo, I can just advance my wardrobe and not spend, you know, all of my husband's money. And so I ordered several different items. Some of them were clothing and some of them were jewelry items. But they had everything, electronics, all kinds of stuff. The prices were dirt cheap. Stuff started coming and it came in like one at a time. And you couldn't read anything on the labels because it was all Asian. And I don't know if you've noticed, but sometimes a size is just a mere suggestion. Because as soon as I started taking things out of the package, I realized, okay, they didn't really mean it when they said it was the size that I usually wear. So the three items of clothing that I ordered, no. And you know, you can't send anything back because you can't read anything. There's no, so thank goodness the sweater cost $2 because I can't send it back anywhere. So I gave it to someone else. Really got excited when the jewelry and non-wearing things started, you know, non-clothing items started coming in. But I learned something. It wasn't as authentic. The quality and the authenticity of what they were advertising wasn't as it should be. It wasn't true to form. It wasn't real. It wasn't what I expected or anticipated. We live in a world where many times things aren't as they seem and aren't as they should be. But it's life. So Ananias and Sapphira lived in a reality that was true, right? I mean, in the video, it talked about how people were giving and Joseph was, you know, giving selflessly and all that he had, and he was bringing it all to the prophets so it could be used. And it was being used as God desired it to be. So why did they stray? Am I really loud?
No.
Is it? I feel like I'm really loud. Okay. Why did they stray, do you think?
Which one?
Ananias and Sapphira.
Greed.
Why do you think they thought they could pull one over on the people? These are hypothetical questions at the moment. You don't necessarily have to answer. And why in the world did they think for 1 minute that they could fool God? Because honestly, you can't fool God, right? I don't understand. You ever read Bible stories and you think, gosh, I just don't understand why. It was greed. It was, you know, they were thinking about themselves. They weren't thinking about the dropping dead thing, right? But that part really makes me stop and think, the dropping dead thing. Not because it's funny, but because I'm going to be honest. There have been times in my life where I have had interactions with people in situations and circumstances where people have lied to me. And I would be lying if I said them dropping dead wouldn't have been my first wish. I'm serious. I mean, we're all friends here, right? I mean, honestly, I would be lying right now to you if I said, oh, I would never wish. There have been times in my life when things have gotten so bad and so ugly, and some of my closer friends know some of the things I'm referring to, and I would have wished, maybe not death, okay, but ill things, locusts, something like that. I cannot stand lying. I cannot, these guys work with me, and I cannot stand lying. They'll even say to a new person coming into the office, whatever you do, don't lie to Michelle. Because bad things happen. If she finds out you're lying, bad things. I can handle almost anything else, but I cannot stand lying. I can't stand lying, not just because it's displeasing to God. And I'm not saying I've never lied, okay? Let's just be honest. But I can't stand lying because it hurts. And it doesn't just hurt the person who's being lied to. It hurts the person who's lying, and it hurts anybody else in the circumstance. And it breaks God's heart. That's why I don't like lying. Not just because how it affects me, but because of the way it affects the entire situation. And Ananias and Sapphira were liars. They lied. They blatantly lied before men and before God. And their lies not only hurt the people in their community, but they hurt themselves. Obviously, they dropped dead. And more importantly, it broke God's heart. I'm sure it broke God's heart. Because when we step out of alignment with God, it breaks God's heart. Every time. Not just a little bit. It just, like, it openly and big, it breaks God's heart. When we sang the song Holy Spirit earlier, the lyrics said, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. What's the definition of shame? The painful feeling arising from the consciousness of something dishonorable, improper, ridiculous, etc., done by one's self. In other words, painful things arising from the consciousness of something dishonorable, improper, and ridiculous done by me or done by you. Shame is that feeling that you get when you realize that what you've done, what you've said, or what you've participated in is wrong. Now, Ananias and Sapphira, as far as I can tell, did not feel shame. They didn't get a chance because they dropped dead. But they did not feel shame. And even when she came the second time, she had an opportunity. But it wasn't there. They didn't get to experience the feeling of their hearts being freed by the shame being undone because
They focused on themselves. They were jealous and they were greedy and they were focused on themselves and they were not focused on God. They were acting on their own behalf instead of behalf of the God of God's glorification. Their actions did not glorify God. Have you ever experienced shame? Now remember, liars drop dead in this room right now, so... Well, you don't have to raise your hand, but I just acknowledge it to yourself. Have you ever experienced shame? Can you think of a time? I can. I think we all can. I can think of several. And I think that the Holy Spirit is maybe the one who helps us deal with that feeling, as the Holy Spirit is the presence of God. The Holy Spirit is the presence of God in my life. The song says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You better make sure you mean that when you sing it. Because when you invite the Holy Spirit in, you're taking a risk. You're inviting someone in who's going to hold you accountable and walk alongside you. And it's not just a friend or a buddy. The Holy Spirit is going to poke at you on a regular basis. And that shame is going to show up. And remorse is going to show up. And so is love and contentment and all of those other things. But opening yourself up to the Holy Spirit is a risk. It forces you into a place where you are accountable all the time. Not just when you're with a friend. Not just when you're sitting at a meal with somebody. But all the time, no matter what, even when you're not speaking or interacting with people or anything, it's holding you accountable all the time. Your thoughts, your words, your actions. We sing a song that says, come flood this place. Come flood this place. I, for one, know my weakness and know how easy it is to fall into a less than authentic place in my heart. We'd be lying to ourselves if we didn't all confess that. But by inviting the Holy Spirit into this place and into this place, to free our hearts and undo the shame, we cleanse ourselves and present as the authentic beings that God has created us to be. Now, we're not without fault. We stumble, we fail, we fall, and we lose control. And we lie. To ourselves and to others. Maybe you never have lied to someone else. But how many of you ever lied to yourself? Thankfully, and only because God is who He is, and the Holy Spirit is the presence of God with us, we can receive grace. Undeserved, unearned, and that which we are not worthy of. But it's there. Ananias and Sapphira were thinking small picture. They weren't looking at the big picture at all. Their jealousy and their desire to be applauded and praised narrowed their focus so much that they missed the big picture. Peter called them on it, and they suffered the consequences. They dropped dead. But it all could have been avoided. Just like we can avoid dropping dead from our lies and lack of authenticity. Obviously, we don't literally drop dead. I mean, but something dies. Something dies. There's something that dies when we aren't authentic. Trust dies in friendships. Relationships suffer. And business deals go bad. Now, here's the big piece. Christians hurt Christians. And it all goes amok. We, as believers in Jesus, are sometimes some of the worst offenders of the lacking in authenticity. Have you ever heard someone say, if that's what Christianity looks like, I don't want to be a part of that at all? I have. I've said that. I had a neighbor once that was a thump you over the head, poke your forehead constantly, shame you all the time type of Christian. And I thought to myself at one point, if that's what believing in Jesus looks like, I'm out. I don't want to have nothing to do with that because that's not real and that's not reasonable. I was I don't know how many of you heard me tell this story before. Probably everyone at least 6 times, but because every time I preach, I mention it. But I was a member of this church for 34 years. I worshipped here in this place for 34 years before it became this church. I know. Did you know? And there was a time in my life when I was married to my first husband where things were not happy and things were not good. And I sang a solo in this church by an artist named Jenny Owens. Does anybody know who Jenny Owens is? She's got a beautiful voice. Her lyrics are just profound. And she's blind. But she is just an absolutely awesome singer. So I sang this song because it went along with the message of the day. And my dad was there. And when I got done with the song and service was over, and I connected with my dad. We were having a conversation. We were down in the church office, and I was complaining profusely about something that my husband was doing or had done or was in the... I was not this one. No, that husband, this man is really close to perfection, and I would never, ever speak ill of him. But we were in a bad place in my first marriage. We were in a bad place, and I'm not proud of that. I'm not proud that I had a first marriage, but I did, and so we learn from things, and God forgives, and thank you, Jesus. But it was a bad, bad place, and I was so ugly and nasty and bitter and bleh, just bleh. And I was just, and my dad got this look that only my dad could get on his face. My mother knows. She's sitting there looking at me like, yep. And he looked at me and scowled at me and yelled at me and said, how can you stand in front of people and sing that song and then stand here and be this person with me? Now, I'm not going to sing the song for you, but you need to hear the lyrics. It's called I Am Nothing. I could travel over oceans, cross the deserts, climb the mountains just to share your story, bring you glory, and win souls for you. And I could sing like an angel, songs so humble and so thankful, full of drama and emotion, so the world would know the truth. I could give away my money and my clothes and my food to restore those people who are poor and lost and down and out. Oh, I could succeed at all these things, find favor with peasants and kings. But if I do not love, I have nothing. I am nothing. I could live a flawless life, never cheat or steal or lie, and always speak so kindly, smile so warmly, and go about doing good. I could dedicate myself to do what everyone else wants me to, listen to them, compliment them, and say the things I should. I could show up every Sunday, lead the choir and the Bible study, and they all might come to know me as a leader and a friend. And I could achieve success on earth, but success cannot define my worth. And all these actions, all these words, they will not matter in the end, because songs will fade to silence, stories will cease, the dust will settle, covering all my selfless deeds. So I strive to serve you. Won't you make it clear to me that if I do not love, I am nothing. And if I cannot love my life, loving my brother, then how can I love the one who lived his life for me? So after church, my dad nailed me. And I was so mad. I was so mad at him. How dare he not support me? How dare he not be on my side? How dare he betray me like that? And I drove over to his house after church, and we had a pretty extensive argument. And it wasn't till much later that I had to stop and realize that he was right. I was not being the authentic follower of Jesus that God had created me to be. He looked at me and he said, how can you stand in front of your church and sing about how you are to love above all else and then stand here and do this? Now cool it and stop complaining. So why is it that we can mess this up so badly repeatedly and still end up on the right side of things? Why don't we simply just drop dead? Part of it's because we may choose to acknowledge our shortcomings and then turn around, like Nancy talked about on Ash Wednesday, when we have an opportunity to turn around and start fresh, turn around, go back in the right direction. What's the other part? The other part is because God loves us. God's love on Valentine's Day and any other day. But God's love is that hearts and roses, chocolate candy, mushy cards kind of love that makes your eyes leak. That's God's love. The love of God is so strong and so powerful that it can overcome all the shame and the lack of authenticity as long as we realize that we're doing it and acknowledge it and give it back. Ignore that shame, disguise it, deny it, and you're going to drop dead, so to speak. Something's going to die inside. But you own it, you repent for it, and you turn away from it, and God will love you right through it. Right alongside you, that Holy Spirit is for real. Right there beside you, walking along the way, holding your hand and holding you accountable. Jesus said he'd be here even when he ascended. He told the disciples, "The Holy Spirit, I'm leaving with you." And he meant it. So don't drop dead. Stand firm in the knowledge that God loves you, forgives you, and wants you to be authentic. For yourself, but most importantly for him. After all, how are people going to know who he is if we fake it?